All right. So yeah, I said that and I didn't have the agenda right in front of me. So NFIL Oversight Committee for December 16th, calling to order. We don't have any new guests, but should we introduce anyhow?
Sure.
Yeah. Cam, that's you.
Cam Whitlock, yeah. Architects Lewis and Whitlock.
Okay. And Mary Jo, thank you.
Mary Jo Spector, FSU.
All right, exciting day here. We've got final documents, at least final to be submitted to the EDA. So we don't need to approve any or participation by electronic means. Any modifications to the agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to add two items. One, I'd like to discuss the loan status with FSU Research Foundation, and then also make sure we cover the next meeting date scheduling.
Okay. You want to talk about loan after?
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. We can do those things after.
All right. We don't really need a motion to approve the modifications or we'll be done with that. Okay. No public comment. Meeting minutes. Kevin, you got any changes?
No changes.
I can't make a motion, so that's on
motion to approve.
Okay, so I'll second that. It's approved. Peggy, you got two of us. All right, so 100% construction documents. Like seeing that 100%.
Well, more like 99.9.
As most construction documents might be. So, gentlemen, yeah.
So, you know, I don't know where you exactly want to go with this. There really haven't been any major modifications from the design. Not to the design. I broke this into two parts. One was to talk about the documents or the design documents. And then the other part being the bid and contract. But, you know, maybe, Cam, if you want to talk about what's hanging out there that we're still working on and, you know, the rest of your process prior to the bid being released.
Okay.
So sorry, I just threw that at
you. I know. I have no preparation for this meeting, but I will say that we've spent, you know, we've had – since like October to finish the documents, and we've had a lot of work to do. We've achieved 99% of what we hoped. One of the big items that we accomplished late in the process was developing our alternates list. So we have, I believe, somewhere around 8 alternates. We have 3 or 4 add alternates and 3 or 4 deductive alternates. So that gives us, you know, the option to add to the project if we get good bids. It gives us the ability to pull some money out of the project if we get, you know, not so good bids. So all the total alternate list is less than $500,000 both ways. So you know,
that might be a good thing to go ahead and look at, because there were some decisions that we had to make if you'd like. And that is kind of the order of the alternates.
Mm-hmm.
We were required to specify the order that they would be either added or deleted. And you keep talking about it.
Other than that, we have a couple of items that we were going to do in-house QC. We didn't get to that and reduce the volume of work. Getting the documents in order for EDA requirements, for the project manual, but since it's a hard bid, we don't have the benefit of having an established construction management contracting program. So we had to, Ron, Bill, and myself, and the attorneys and the accountants all had to work as a team to put together the bidding conditions. So we got all the state requirements folded in, the EDA requirements, all that's included in the project manual. So we have the project manual consists of, if you haven't already looked through it, we have the front end documents, which is all of that bidding, invitation to bid, bid form, substitution form, EDA requirements, general conditions, insurance requirements, all that is in the geotech report. All that's in the front end. And then appended to that are the 2 volumes of technical specs, which is about 1,000 pages or so of technical specs. So all of that is was pieced together. And again, the other remaining big items on the in the documents themselves is just a QC and finalizing door hardware. So we have a door hardware that we had at 50%. We've spent some door, a few door modifications, not a lot, but also integrating in a Bluetooth or phone-enabled proximity system so that when members approach the building, they easily get in the building and have their phone on it. They can get in their labs or the offices. So that is something that is late in coming, but we are hopeful. And well, our plan is to do the QC and the door hardware changes and get an addendum out before the project advertises for bids. So the bidders will only see the addendum one documents. So that will help reduce any confusion that can result from multiple addendums reissuing major parts of the project.
Does EDA need to review that part, what will be in the addendum?
I don't believe so. That's not my, I think you uploaded documents yesterday or you're
I'm waiting for after this meeting.
Yeah. So I don't know if we have to have resubmittal for addendum information to the EDA. I think that's a question I don't recall off the top of my head. Well, I may know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that any of this is substantive enough. Have to do that, but we can clarify that.
In fact, I would say it's definitely not, because they have specific items they're looking for, and it's not necessarily paired in with that level of scope review. It's more, are you doing what you said, a 40,000 square foot, two-story building on 3.5 acres, and did you put our award number on it and all the disclaimers about labor and fair hiring practices and things of that nature in the documents?
They're not picking through light fixtures and alternates and things like that.
You know, I don't know what exactly they're, I mean, we do give them the full signed and sealed drawing. So I'm not sure the level of detail they're getting into. I don't know if they're looking to make sure that the costs that we're including are eligible type costs, you know, making sure that there's no equipment included in that. I don't know if they'll get into that level.
I think that might be more likely rather than the people kind of door harder.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But, maybe making sure that access control system, whether or not that's included, you know, the cost of that system is included or not. And at this point, it is not. The hardware, you know, on the doors and the wiring and all that is, but the actual system is not.
And it's not particularly consequential in terms of the overall project. It's primarily wiring and then dropping door controller units in the IT room. So Cam and his team have done a great job of engineering the facility for the future, because eventually we'll have strikes on all the doors, but we won't go into it with that plan.
But it will be wired for that, and that is part of the you know what the contractor's scope is going to be. It's not
exactly
it's going to be fixed equipment or
correct
any whatever that might be, not equipment that we could move around, which seems to be a really simplistic way of summing up what they're looking for, right? Or what they won't cover.
Yeah, they won't cover anything that basically can be removed from the building without, you know, having to alter the building.
Okay.
So, I think there are some things that could get to splitting hairs on. We try to be somewhat aggressive. But at the end of the day, if we're in over budget, you know, we're
going to pay for it anyhow.
Yeah. And it's going to hurt us if we're over budget at the bid time. So there's that kind of that game we have to play.
Which is why the alternates are so important. And that's right.
Gives us a little bit of flexibility. Yes.
And the autoplay is going in through the addendum as well.
They're in the document.
Okay, great.
Perfect. Yeah.
With that, that's
awesome.
It's just, it wasn't in the cost estimate though, the 50%
correct.
Cost estimate.
That's correct. And that's 160,000
and 180,000. Okay. So we're getting closer to that 3 million. So, depending on which number Cam makes me use.
So letting EDA know there is an addendum coming and what that information might be, just to double check, make sure, may or may not be a question, but
I have not seen anything in the documents that led me to believe that they want to see all the addendums. I think it's a valid question to ask.
Yeah.
There's going to be, as you both know, there's going to be a constant flow of paperwork that modifies the documents.
Understood. Yeah. It makes sense that they would mostly be looking at, did we meet the general parameters and not cover it, you know, put anything in there that they wouldn't cover, and they want to see 100%, you know, with the sign too. Kevin, I've just been jumping in here.
I agree. Yeah. I don't know that there's any basis for them scrutinizing details that they never established an initial concern. I mean, why would they do that? So
in terms of change orders, I think he made it pretty clear in our initial meeting that his only concern with change orders are ones that put us over budget.
Mm-hmm. So. Every conversation we've had, it seems like they're looking at big picture.
Yeah.
They're not going to dive into the weeds,
I hope.
All right. So, yeah, Kevin, you got any other questions on that?
I'm good.
Yeah.
So this is Mary Jo. Can you see that?
Just for the record, Ron, will you say which of the attachments you're looking at?
Yeah, this is in the
project.
That's in the technical specs.
Technical specs, volume one. Yeah.
Yes, I can see that. Sorry.
Thanks, Mary Jo. So this is these are the things that you want to describe how this works.
Other than the fact that I thought we were just going to describe the alternates. So we have added alternates and deductive alternates. So the add alternates include roller shapes. So we have a verbal description and they tie back to something in the drawings. So in this case, the roller shades are located on the finish schedule. Those are an easy add later if you can't afford them, but these were ranked in priority order of how they would be accepted. So if we are accepting add alternates, this would be the first one that we would accept. The next is the extended north porch. So off of the break room and the main corridor. So heading north on the main corridor towards the pond, there will be a small porch. That's part of the building foundation proper. The extended porch is porch that is beyond that foundation because I have a retaining wall there. So it's going to be additional columns and about 10 feet of porch that extends across the front of the break room. So it gives you some more entertainment or functional outdoor space. The number three is an entry canopy. It is just provides some protection. It's also an architectural feature of the building, but certainly the building functions without it. You can actually get in there's a overhang, but it's 40 feet up in the air, about 4 feet, 5 feet. So it's not going to do a lot for the driving rain. The canopy helps. And then the fourth item is the hazardous chemical storage building, which is of all the add alternates, the most expensive one. It is a modular building that would be built and brought and set down on a slab. The base bid includes the slab. If we don't get the alternate, that will just be parking, extra parking. If we do get the alternate, we add this modular storage building and a screen wall, a concrete block screen wall around it. The modular storage building allows for a greater quantity of chemicals to be stored on site. The building has chemical containment zones within it that limit how much chemical can be in any one of those zones. So this allows mostly for chemicals that are spent, not needed to be stored there so that you haul outside. That's about a $70,000-$80,000 add right there.
So who determines the order of the alternates? What was that process? Because
we all talked.
Okay. That is a function over form conversation, in my opinion. And so we can look at this and think, hey, it'd be cool to have that canopy because it's an architectural feature. That's a visual. Chemical storage seems to make a lot of sense. So I don't know that that's necessarily
And that's something I just want to let you know.
Okay.
How we went about that process. It was not, it wasn't arbitrary. So we looked in terms of things like what's going to have the biggest potential impact on cost, mm-hmm. for one. What, you know, so if it was a minor cost item, you know, it might have been, you know, higher in the ad or, you know, lower than the belief range. Right. But
it's also not required for the yes. building. So it'd be extra capacity. So it's a nice to have, but not a need to have.
And what do we need to have at opening versus what could we easily fund sure. later?
Mm-hmm.
And add later without, you know, a major disruption to the building. So an exterior chemical storage building that's modular, that's, you know, sort of just set it down. That's an easy add later.
Sure.
And it isn't required to open the building.
And you may never get to
conduit in there.
Exactly. And you may never get the kinds of quantities of chemical scientists that require needing that chemical storage building. If you do, then you have the capacity to add it. But your point, I understand.
I just don't want to weigh in on a decision that we haven't had a super in-depth yeah. discussion. I mean, I think that the order makes sense so long as it's what you've collectively dug into and said, okay, this is financially and in terms of functions yeah. makes the...
We had a meeting with the whole design team, including engineers, because most of the ductile offerings are engineering-based. So there was a team's meeting where we went through and ranked all of these in terms of priorities.
So that was just our intent, just good. To let you know, here's what we decided.
Perfect.
We can change the order addendum if that was desired.
No, I just want to make sure that I understood what the assignment was.
Okay. Deductive alternates.
I have a question. Huh? Are roller shades, does EDA consider roller shades fixed equipment?
That's one of those that might be...
I think it could go either way. I mean, they're definitely attached to the building.
I know. I just want to be sure, because that's something you could always add in later. FF&E too.
Yeah. I think we put it up. We ranked it high in adding just because we think it's going to be important in the building.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just concerned about how EDA looks upon it.
Yeah. Worst case, they'll reject it and we'll have to fund it another way.
Yeah.
Seems like that's something the EDA might see as important if it's dealing with heat gain, you know,
yeah. the physical comfort and vision.
That's all it is. Okay.
Well, we have very high performance windows.
There might be some lab.
I was stretching there.
Uses, but that's pretty uncommon.
One thing to keep in mind is with this loan arrangement that we're working with FSU, that may give us some flexibility in terms of those things that where we have to split hairs. If the EDA says no, if the total cost is still within that total budget, including the loan amount, we could potentially pay for it out of the loan funds, even if we don't get to that final stage. And it's something that I'll try to make sure we get addressed in the loan situation. And I wanted to let you know, Tom is here. He is on the call.
Good morning, Tom.
I apologize, guys. I messed up.
But you're here. It's good.
Do you want to go ahead and take a vote to approve this participation by that time?
Yes. Okay.
Motion.
Second. All right. You're approved. All right, Tom.
Morning, Tom.
How y'all doing? I'm sorry.
All good.
It happens.
So, Tom, we were just talking about the schedule of alternates.
Yeah, I was listening a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. So so that's kind of what we, you know, the process we went through. And we think we were pretty, I think we made some pretty good decisions here in terms of what we have to have at opening, what we, you know, what gives us flexibility down the road. So, and that's these, for example, removing the exhaust fans and the water heater. Those were, you know, for future expansion or redundancy. The fume hood duct material substitution is, you know, it's galvanized steel versus welded
stainless,
which has to do maybe with longevity, you know, mm-hmm. how it holds up. But it will also depend on the type of chemicals that are being exhausted. So,
The boiler, again, that is, what is that?
It's
that,
redundant. That's redundant. It's a backup.
Yeah.
So this building has built-in redundancy and backups. And so we're saying that if money's tight, we can take some of that out and it can be added back in later.
So everything will be there to hook that equipment up, right? It's just a matter of actually purchasing the equipment.
Okay.
So our philosophy is get it built. Get the rest later.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Just for the record, I'm glad y'all had retained power, gas. I mean, we're having, just like we talked about with the door hardware, all of the, it's going to be prepped for future add-ons of these fleeted elements. If we need to,
exactly. Okay.
Including solar, potentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a lot of some of the infrastructure in to enable solar to be attached to the building, and the roof design structurally is designed to support the photovoltaic array.
In the roof over the shop and the chip receiving is designed to add the second floor above it. So
and EV charging potentially.
Mm-hmm.
So the team has done a great job with taking our imagination and sequencing it.
That's great.
Allowing for the future.
Yeah.
Exactly. So did anyone have any questions about the actual drawings or anything that they saw in the drawings? That Cam, I did have one question. The signage, the sign on the building.
Is addendum.
It's an addendum.
Now, we already have notes on the plans to support the sign, provide backing. We're supposed to have power there, but I haven't checked. But that's part of the QC process. It's on my list of things we're going to add in to the
project. Is there anything else you can think of that would?
No, it's that's it. The door hardware and signage are the number one items. We already have in the drawing set interior signage concept. So it's just the exterior building mounted sign and maybe the monument sign.
I think we had the monument sign.
Well, we have a location and we have kind of the actual graphic showing how we want that built may not be on our documents yet.
Okay.
It may be, I just don't know.
Yeah, I thought I'd seen it, but that's okay.
Tom, did you have any, we've been talking about, as you heard, the alternate list, talked about a few other things, but did you have any questions on the construction documents or the specs or anything?
I didn't.
Okay.
Kevin?
You guys have done a great job in maturing these up to 100%, or at least super close to 100%. Mm-hmm. But it's a process, and you guys have done it fantastic.
Thank
fantastic
you.
Job.
Yep, we've had a great team, and Ron and Bill have been awesome to work with.
Yeah, Cam and his team have been fantastic, and Bill, having Bill around to provide the input and push back on me when, I was thinking like an accountant.
Cam and his team have been very gracious.
Yeah, it's been amazing to be able to do most of this virtually.
That's true.
It has actually worked really, really well. And there are times we do a lot of squinting on drawings, but generally it's been pretty good, and having the right people in the meetings at the right time has been very good. I didn't think we were going to get through all of those meetings that you noticed we had to have, but we did.
Yeah, I did an hour count.
So
it was nailed it.
That was,
of course, you did.
Critical.
Yeah.
So, and luckily I didn't have to go to all of them.
Yeah.
Well, you're all sharing, tossing the credit around, but all of you, as Kevin said, fantastic. And Ron,
and let's not forget Mary Jo.
And Mary Jo, and right, the entire team. We met this, with the financial issues, everything else, we're still on schedule.
That's
true. This is exceptional. So, looking at construction documents on iPad, never done that before. I tried for a moment and went back to the desktop. And so I bet there was a lot of squinting, but.
Yeah.
Adding in during a pandemic and doing a lot virtual.
And Cam is going to get us a printed set of documents before to add before it's added. So we can, in your QC process, so Bill and I can take a look at it.
You, yes. So I can do that immediately, like next couple days.
That'd be, yeah, that'd be great. Then Bill can look at it while I'm on vacation.
Ron and I.
Yeah. Even ledger size is still
tiny. That's so tiny.
Yeah.
1,000 pages of technical.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing, right?
200 something of drawings?
Yeah.
178, I think.
Okay. Right? So yeah. Something
like that. Holy cow.
Yeah. It's yeah. substantial. Yeah.
Sophisticated building,
which hopefully it justifies the price. So, because it's hard to look at a 40,000 square foot building that costs that much.
Yeah,
you know, it's.
I hope it doesn't cost as much as I fear.
Yes,
I actually heard someone thinking about a different incubator this week say, you know, if we were looking at the same size as North Florida, it wouldn't cost as much because that really needs to be technical. I mean, for people who really understand what we're trying to do. It seems like, you know, we always anticipate that the cost would be pretty high. So maybe not as high as we would hit in 2021-22, but
right.
making it work.
Yeah, and I do think going two-story did cost us a little bit, right? I mean, we had to...
Elevator, nothing else than stairs, yeah.
Elevator, stairs, the height of the building.
You get some efficiencies there, but, you know, being more compact. So there's trade-offs, but mostly the stairs and elevators, I think.
Yeah.
That will bode well for us for the future, though. I mean, having other land available, other things like that, the constraints of the site, is that...
I mean, it is really, I would say, and it's compact. I mean, we maximize that site with the buildable area. You couldn't have done it once we're building it.
Yeah.
So when this goes out to bid, how long is that time frame from when it goes out to when the bids are due?
We have
35 days.
35 days. And then the, I want to make sure that we don't do anything that would jeopardize the procurement process. How many different firms do anticipate seeing this? And how many, just roughly, do you have an idea how many different bids we might receive?
I have no idea. It's going to be advertised on January 11th, through the Democrat, through a couple of websites, at least one online source for government projects, BidSync or something else, on demand, Demandstar, and then on the Parks website. And so I anticipate.
Yeah, we'll also push it out on social media.
I anticipate, you know, dozens around the whole Southeast will see it. We're going to have a pre-bid meeting here. It's the 25th. Have a pre-bid. That's where we'll get the first feel for how much interest there is. I've talked to most of the local major contractors, mm-hmm. and most of them are interested. So I think that we should get a decent local turnout. Bids are due February 15th.
Okay. What's a good number of bids?
What is a good number of bids?
Yeah, three.
That's minimum. Mm-hmm.
You'll get three?
I hope we get at least six to eight.
Six to eight.
Three would be, like, I think, be easy.
Okay.
Unless people are just really busy.
Which many of them are.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the technical requirements of the building will scare a lot of people off?
I hope it scares off small, inexperienced people.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll scare off
the big guys.
Shoulders, Mad Dog, although I don't think Mad Dog is going to be interested, honestly.
For the record, since you invoked the name, confirmed that Mad Dog will not bid.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I wanted to do that before we had this meeting, I didn't think they would be, but I double checked because I wanted to make sure I had no conflicts or anything like that. So they will not be a bidder.
Right. That was my understanding. Right. I was using them as an example of someone who could certainly do the project successfully. Most of the larger firms seem interested.
What about outside of Tallahassee?
I think that there may be some interest. I don't know. There's some firms from outside Tallahassee that are doing work in Tallahassee that may be interested. I don't have a conversation. I don't have a conduit to those firms, so I don't know.
We did get an inquiry from Dodge.
Yes.
From who, Brian?
What is it?
What did you say? From who?
Inquiry from Dodge.
Oh, Dodge. So, Dodge Reports. Okay.
Yes. Yes. Familiar with it.
And so we provided them with information. So it's, so I, and my understanding is they published that information as well. Mm-hmm. So we haven't actually published the bid, but I did give them all that information as to when the bid would be advertised.
That's good.
So, and then the, and we're kind of jumping between the two items here, and that, and which is okay. We can,
okay.
We
can, I was going to ask you that if we needed to go back, we'll go back and take a vote if we need to.
Yeah, yeah, whichever. Okay. But the you know, obviously it's a firm bid. It's, but there are some qualification requirements in the instruction of bidders. So the evaluation process for the bids, how do you see that going, Keon?
Well, we haven't discussed that specifically, but I think it's going to be, you know, I foresee that we're going to do a public reading, opening of the bids, and evaluate whether or not everything was provided that we asked for. So we're going to have a spreadsheet that where we document, did we get the bid bond? Did we get the qualifications? You know, did they price all of them? So we'll do that in the room, and then we'll just...
Is that a document you put together?
Yeah.
The spreadsheet? Or
yeah.
Checking the boxes?
Yes. Okay. And then I think we'll have to have a day or two, a couple of... to go through and verify the qualifications. And, you know, the number is the number, but qualifications are something that we're not, I don't see us doing on the fly. So we will not announce a bid or a low bid until we have finished that process.
They'll know the numbers. They'll know who the low bidder is, but
right.
They won't know who's the most qualified.
Right. It'll be an apparent low bidder at that point.
Who's responsive and responsible.
Right.
And which actually brings up the other item I was going to talk about, which is the schedule for the next meeting. So the bids will come in on the 15th of February.
Let me just back up just a second. That would be a question to ask the attorney. Do we have to read the bids aloud, or can we just receive them?
I think we put that in the...
Yeah, I think so too.
In the instructions to bidders, and that is typical.
Right, it is.
And it does say that, they, you know, just... I think it's good because you're... We have the right to reject any bid
Yes. If
we don't think they're qualified.
Right.
So
that's okay. I mean, since we don't have the ability to evaluate the qualifications, it would be interesting.
I think you have to,
but I think we do have to.
Yeah, I think you have to do at least show that level of transparency. So basically, if it happens on the 15th, we have a meeting already scheduled for February 24th. But I wanted to confirm that date and time still works for y'all, because they'll have to be the ones that approve the award of the contract. So that gives us, I mean, technically that would only give us a couple of days. We'd have to have the agenda emailed on the 17th or posted on the 17th, which is 2 days after the bid. But we could still take a couple of days after that to finish, you know, firm up our qualifications, recommendations, and technically even present that information at the meeting.
So Ron, Ron, run through that schedule. So bids go out the 11th of Jan.
Yep.
They're received February 12th. Is that what you said?
15th. And there's a pre-bid meeting on the 25th of January.
That's when I was... Do you want us to attend the pre-bid meeting?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that could invite discussion from the committee. I don't know if we really need to be in the room. I mean, if you have interest,
if it may be a committee meeting because you're there, then.
Yeah.
Like I said, being problematic.
That would make it a public meeting.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay. That's the reason not to do it, because we would have to notice and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not there. And the bids received on the 15th, same. You all are just, we don't need to participate in that process.
It will be a Zoom meeting. So,
well, it's a notice requirements and all that.
Right.
I honestly think that you should wait for the evaluation that we do. And okay. You'll have the spreadsheet that shows, you know, they met all the basic requirements. We'll do the vetting on the qualifications, kind of like we've done other RFP evaluations and given you, you know, I think I've done that in the past where I've given you background checks and, you know, all that stuff, reference checks. And so we'll do that evaluation and give you our information on each of the bidders. Obviously, you probably have your own background with some of these folks that can come into play, but we'll make our recommendation, but it will be up to you all to make the final call.
You mentioned February 24th?
Yes.
What meeting is that?
Yeah, that is not on
that's our calendar. Sure.
Yeah, so you wanted to make sure that, yeah.
Is that a problem?
Depends on when.
8 o'clock? Are you gone?
It's a blueprint meeting day.
Oh.
I'll say where Kevin and I will be that afternoon.
So,
We don't have to do it that day.
I would prefer that we not.
Okay.
Fair.
It's going to be we could, but it's going to be a busy day.
So we have it in the schedule to award the contract by March the 1st, correct?
We were trying to give them a notice to proceed, yes, by March 1st. Right?
No, but the notice to proceed has to be by the 17th.
Okay.
We were going to do an intent to award. But if the oversight committee is going to be empowered to do that and is empowered to do that, then they can do it at whatever point they do that meeting. The intent to the wouldn't even be an intent to award, it'd be an award.
Yeah.
Ron, what is 25th work?
The contract finalized before the 15th. 70.
Correct. And given that I'm sorry, Tom, you had a question?
I said, would the 25th work if the 24th does not?
I think that Friday works better for me, but sooner.
The Friday works better for me, but I will be honest and say 8 a.m. might be a little challenging, just depending on how late that meeting goes the night before. I will do it absolutely if we got to do it at 8 a.m. for you guys, but don't know how long that meeting's going to be.
What about the 23rd?
The 23rd is open for me. Kevin, does that work for you?
Thanks.
Or Tom?
It does me.
I'm open anytime on the 23rd.
Is it change of day or something for us?
Because you'll be opening on 15th. You need that due diligence to check the qualifications.
Yeah.
So that still gives you a week. Yeah.
Yeah, I can make the 23rd.
Okay. 8 a.m. Are we looking at an hour? It's not.
Unless we have issues with onboarding or a budget.
Or it depends on how many we have or we have.
I mean, budgets. I think if there's a recommendation, it's pretty easy.
We'll schedule an hour and a half.
That's good. Guys, that works for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm Mary Jo. Good. Thank you.
Yes, this all presumes that the bids come in within budget. This point is a big presumption.
Well, if more time was needed, I mean, obviously, Ron, you've got notice requirements for the meeting, but...
Yeah, if it comes well, and that's something we'll have to come up with a plan on what happens if, you know.
I think that's the subject of that meeting. If we don't have a successful number, then we have to come up and talk about what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And we would have notice or time to notice a public meeting or even an emergency meeting for the following week, for the week of February 28th, if needed, if we needed to do anything else before the 17th. Just if you needed the committee to, you know.
You mean after the 23rd meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Just all eventualities. If you needed us back in the room the following week.
Yeah. I think what happens, because there's really not time to do anything on an emergency basis. We're doing all we can to raise funds.
Yeah.
And I think we're pretty much tapped out on our ability to raise additional funds, you know, just, you know, unless FSU just decides to give us a blank check, which I don't think that's going to happen, but and you never know, but
it's
going to take time, whatever we do.
I hope this isn't the case, but if it's just a little over what we've got through the loan and through the grant, et cetera, Innovation Park has some funds,
but it just depends.
That would be an executive committee decision, right? Yeah. So,
yeah, it might also be tapping into the Juggernaut funds again. So there's it would involve the board redirecting some of those funds from some of our renovation plans, for example.
Okay.
Our current year, and getting OEV to approve that, but it's not recommended. I think we got to look at those things, but I don't want to go into the bid right now thinking we're not going to get the number. CAM would likely continuously raise money, you know, for all eventualities. But
that's not true. Because
it is not a free process to go try to raise money, continuously try to raise money in the eventuality that we're over. So I think right now we got what we got. I think we go to bid, we see what we get, and then we have to then it's a matter of what the EDA is willing to do with our timeline to give us time to go get additional funds. If it does go over, it will not be the first time it's ever happened in the EDA.
Of course. Yeah.
Now, there's always another possibility, which is we have shown our ability to go out and get additional funding. And who knows, the EDA could theoretically come back with additional funding. I don't know that they will. But I didn't think they'd come up with the last bit either. So
right.
That's why I think we just go with what we got and then we'll deal with it. But I think the EDA would give us additional time if we're over enough to have a plan, or they have some ability to get something done. But at this point, we don't know.
Real quick, if this is appropriate, because I'm thinking about Kristen's comment, if it's appropriate, can you just put together a simple schedule, not a detailed schedule, but what are the different paths to the finish line? You mentioned, if necessary, having to tap into Juggernaut. We have some money on our balance sheet. We've looked at these different options. I mean, we don't want all of our eggs in a single basket, only to find out that we're a few dollars over, and that creates a condition that we weren't anticipating. You know, what do we need to do to prepare for our contingencies? So I guess that's the.
I'm just to piggyback on this, and that's all the question was. We're gonna assume we get good bids, we can move forward, the timeline's gonna be good, EDA will understand this, but it seems like because we have some other options, laying those out just to be prepared for any contingencies. Yeah, that's, I just repeated kind of what you said, but
it doesn't need to be detailed. It's high level basic.
Is that?
Yeah. Okay. It could be just a few bullets. I don't know. I don't know. Just what are the paths?
It's basically going back to the well on the same paths that we've done before. Juggernaut, EDA, FSU.
How much do we have? I guess the question is, how much latitude do we have to self-fund if we need to? In other words, when we look at our balance sheet.
We are getting to the point where we are threatening our own future cash flow to exist if we have to commit a lot. As you recall, we're already got major leasing problems with the loss of the FSU Anthropology. So we have reserves, but we need those reserves. We're going to need them to exist in the future.
And I think that's an important element for us to understand as a board as we get ready to approve whatever the final deal is. Hopefully, the bids come inside of the package and everybody's good and there's no major hiccups, we need to prepare for whatever our contingency is. That's it.
Yeah, that's been my intent to do that, but I didn't think I needed to go too far with it at this point. I mean, I'm always thinking about, you know, what if, but.
Kevin, not to, you know, if you want that schedule, certainly in his chair, I think, you know, or the bullets as you described, let's do that. Just based on this conversation, we do have, you know, the same options that we had before. So we kind of have articulated that. I think the other part of my questions was making sure we have the time for public notice or meetings, should we need to be brought back in to meet those final deadlines. So again, I mean, I kind of will defer to you if you would like that, those bullets is, you know.
Actually, I'm okay not having, we can hold off on preparing that, with the exception of I do want to understand inside of our LCRDA financials, how much bandwidth do we have?
My recommendation would be not to touch any more funding from our reserves than where we're at. We're already at taking about $2.2 million out of what we had, which was about four.
Okay.
And we've already cut into some of that as well in the last year and a half. So with some of the capital expenditure stuff that we've done.
And Ron, aren't we having to use some of our resources for some of the early stage before we get funding from EDA?
Yeah, we're already spending it.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but that was part of the 2.2 that I mentioned. And we still have to deal with the tail, the 10% at the end,
right?
EDA's holdback. So we'll have to do some bridge financing for that. I got a little time on that because it comes in, you know, 18 months to 2 years. But yeah, I am just really concerned if we tap into any more of our cash reserves. I think you know, as much as I'd like to see the project keep going, I think at some point we'll have to, you know, we'll have to make a call.
Okay. If it was that extreme.
If it was extreme.
We're not feeling like it's going to be in that posture right now, but if it was that extreme.
And again, you know, I think everyone wants to see this project happen. Between the EDA, FSU, us, OEV, you know, everybody wants it to happen. So it's just, you know, I think everyone's going to have a limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know where that limit is.
But we've done everything we could to prepare for that.
Yes.
The alternates, all of the work, FSU's additional, I mean, all of that, I think EDA will see that effort.
Yeah.
And as you said, if it came in higher, it wouldn't be the first time, and certainly not this year.
Yeah. So we'll know by February 15th. I mean, as soon as those bids are open, we'll know where we're at. So we can react, you know, based on what we see there. Because if they're all over, you know, evaluating qualifications is not going to be all that important. So we'll, you know, we'll have to at that point go, okay, which of these options do we go with? And
Ron, do we have any flexibility post bid receipt to negotiate if we need to, or does that violate some of the EDA requirements?
A hard bid. I don't recall seeing any ability to negotiate.
I haven't seen it, but it would be nice to have that option.
As long as you're negotiating with the low bidder,
right?
But then you get into situations with, you know, what if you disqualified someone because of their qualifications, who was the low bidder, and then you negotiate with the next highest bidder.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing I'm trying to also avoid is some sort of protest.
Yeah.
Well,
we don't have a protest process.
And it's common in this business, as everyone knows.
Yeah. So the minute you disqualify somebody because of their qualifications, you know, if they're low bid, they're low bid. But if it comes down to qualifications, it can get really, really nasty. Just from the stuff I've seen with the state in particular.
Oh, yeah.
When there's this much money on the line, and this isn't as big as a lot of projects, but it's big enough.
So we don't have a process. Is Melissa thinking through this? I mean, because that feels like a high probability issue to have to wrestle with.
I'll bring it up.
I feel like the qualifications are, you know, it's kind of a, there's no hard and fast, you shall have this. We did say you had to have so much experience, dollar volume. I don't remember exactly what it said, but nothing was very, you know, not as cut and dry as I think.
Yeah, we had 3 years of, 3 years, within the past 3 years, you've done, or last 5 years, you've done three years. Projects.
Yeah.
Right. Of similar technical complexity.
Right.
I think we even said lab, medical, research facilities.
You said that, and then there was an or.
Advanced manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Or yeah, GSA right. related.
Or similar.
I noted the and in the or, yeah. those qualifications.
So that's not cut and dry, but right. we also didn't want to be so tight that we couldn't get anybody to qualify. Because at the end of the day, you could have not done a lab business exactly like this, but maybe have done something similar and do just fine.
You're hard pressed to get anyone that has.
Yes, right. yes, that's true. It's a very unique facility. But we have in the document, the board has the right to reject any and all bids for any reason. Now, I'll clarify with Melissa, but my thought has always been, and we've had other, you know, knock on wood, we've never had a protest on any of our RFPs. But in my opinion, you know, barring some statute to the contrary, the board has final approval and would deal with any protests at a meeting.
We also, and I know you put it in some of the documents, Ron, because I saw it, but it's a tight circle of folks that might bid on this from Tallahassee, and we've got to be careful not to talk to them during the, you know, bid phase.
Yeah, and that's and why always, yeah, we saw
them. I saw it, but I just want to remind everybody because it's real easy to get asked about something like that.
I'm actually going to say right now, we are at the point of 100%. We're moving into the final phase review. Less the three of us just, I mean, even though we haven't had the bid announced yet, let's just, for our own purposes, say from now on, we're going to treat it as if the bid is open. So we don't have any of those conversations in the next month and a half. Does that?
Cause, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've got a couple of calls.
Okay. Well, and I mean, just that, people that interested, was what was on my, the three of us are so tied into, you know, as you said, we know a lot of the contractors in town that I think from now on, we could just treat it as we have an upcoming bid opening. We're going to not have those conversations and treat it as, I'm forgetting my terminology, but.
We go into the quiet phase.
The quiet phase. That's what, yes, that's what
I'm thinking. But I think that has to apply.
It does.
To
you
this
all.
Collective team
yes.
as well.
Right.
I think not all communications are going through Camp Shop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On the,
okay.
Yeah, that's.
No, you're not.
You are not. No, but our team.
Sure.
No. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So in the procurement process, Cam, are you the sole point of contact, or are you specifically that?
We
person?
Are receiving all questions. Yes, it's coming right. to our office, the not to me specifically,
yeah,
but to my office
address yeah. at his okay. office.
But yeah, we'll be the conduit conversation.
And we basically we said all communication has to be in writing.
Yeah. yeah.
Once it's released, it's all in writing because that way then everyone has to have access to all the communication that happens. So if you
yeah.
tell one person something, everybody gets that piece of information. So
that's good to have on the record. Yeah. And which is how we've treated other RFPs
yeah.
or bids in the past.
So there'll be an addendum that'll be issued prior to, I think there's a deadline for
yes. For 7 days. Questions are due 7 days prior to bid.
Yes, and at that point, then an addendum is issued with all questions that have been received and the answers, and everyone gets that. We'll post it on the website.
Forgive me, Bill, you had something a while back before we got into this specific conversation.
Yes, it's minor, certainly by comparison, but we will want to clear potential dates for a groundbreaking ceremony shortly mm-hmm. after.
So he's thinking optimistically.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, that's sort of the official kickoff of the marketing effort to, you know, showcase what's, you know, unique and special about this building, what it's going to do for the, and then begin. And we've gotten as recently as yesterday, I want to talk to you about space in the new lab.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Nice. So we've gotten and Claudio, who's moving in, wants space in the new lab. So we'll use the groundbreaking as the marketing kickoff for it.
So we're looking at, you know, obviously the 17th is our, notice to proceed has to be done by then. So we're thinking after we get the bids and we know we've got a viable bid,
then we'll do the groundbreaking.
Then we'll actually schedule the groundbreaking. So, but we're looking at the week after the 17th.
The week of the 21st.
For what?
For a groundbreaking.
Oh, ceremony. Do you want anything to actually happen, or you just want a ceremony where people have shovels on site?
Yeah, just this.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to ask Ricardo to leave the dirt he's got over there.
That's right.
The pile of dirt over to our site.
Just move the stakes over a little bit.
Right.
City and county, I'm sure, have a lot of gold shovels. So,
He's already got branding opportunities. He's
we did a college town groundbreaking. So, yeah. And Denise has been great. She's like, well, you know, if you need specialty items or anything, better get them in now. I'm like, well, we'll contemplate that. We just won't put a date on it for now. So anyway, minor by comparison, but did want, obviously, to get it on.
And unfortunately, the 17th is the week of spring break for most folks.
I was going to mention that. I think it's overlap FSU spring break and Leon County Schools. I'm pretty sure it's the same week for both.
Yeah.
So. FSU is normally, I mean, not that, but there's a lot of folks busy during FSU when the students are gone.
FSU and FAMU are both
out. Are both out. Yeah, FSU and FAMU are both out. So not having an event that week, but again, that would be.
So we're thinking probably the final, or the week after that.
The week of the 21st.
Any date but April 1st.
There you go. Okay, no, that was a really good question, because that timing and the schedule, I mean, we got to think about that in advance. Okay, good discussion. So as you said before, Ron, we were kind of mixing up the last couple items, or these two items on the agenda, 7 and 8. So any other discussion on that, or should we go back and take a vote on the construction documents and then wrap up the conversation about the draft contract or anything else that we might not have mentioned? Okay. So 400%-ish, 99% construction documents. Is any other final questions, Ron, Tom, any other comments? Okay, we got a motion to approve.
Second.
Tom, you want to second? Okay. And I will third, so it's unanimous. Congratulations, everybody. Got there. Yes, well done. And to the rest of your team and everyone else and Mary Jo, yes. Many thanks. Okay, Ron, so we got what we needed on number 7.
Yes.
For number 8, the big documents, draft contract. What else? Talked about the bid a good bit.
Yeah, the bid advertisement document that I provided as a supplement to, and the project manual as amended by the other document that I sent you that mentions the prohibited communications that Tom brought up.
Yes.
Make sure that's included in your motion.
Okay, with the addendum, right?
Yes.
So, okay, guys, any questions, any other comments on the bid documents with that addendum? So we'll need a motion.
I'll move it.
With the do we need to reference the addendum, or is that
as long as that's stated? Understood?
That's included. That's understood, that it's included. It's all of that, right? Okay, and all third. So okay, unanimous. Peggy, thank you. All right, good. So if there's nothing else on any of that, we'll move on to project cost update, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And I will try to share the screen here. So not a big change from the last time. I'm still waiting on the bill, Cam. This was our project cost breakdown that we've been using. So, and this is the actual project cost that's, or the estimated project cost of construction from what we just submitted or getting ready to submit to the EDA is the $18,691,000. That includes all the contingencies and your frowning camp. That's okay. And that's that, and I have to break down site work and construction because that's the way EDA does it. The site work is maybe arbitrary in terms of which buckets that I picked up from the cost estimate, but and then the contingencies are it's the balance that's in the EDA budget. So we'll, when we do our submissions, we'll have to follow this breakdown because this is the way the EDA budget will break down. So we're at 22.3 million. This is before the some of the other changes we've just talked about, but this is what's been billed to date. This is the balance to be billed. This is what we have in cash on hand from the contributions from our funding partners and ourselves. We put $234,000 into it, into this fund, but we still have a balance of $592,000 in a designated checking account for this project. And I think based on what I've seen from our projection of cash flow, we're probably looking at, what, $300,000, a little more than that on this upcoming billing. Do you have any sense of that?
I don't. I mean, it's something less than that.
Yeah, based on the way it was phased. It just depends. There's a lot of other buckets of things.
Right, it's all those ad services.
So I'm not sure what that's going to be, but we're in that $300,000 range, I think. So we still have enough on hand to pay the next bill. And there won't be a lot of costs incurred between now and February. We have some permitting that we're working on, right? So yes, we may have some fees related to that. Then I plugged in the gap as being borrowed. So that's where we're at right now in terms of borrowing. So that's the current cost estimate or current project cost.
Okay.
Any questions?
Kevin?
Okay.
Tom, any questions on that?
No.
Okay. You mentioned permitting. Anything we need to discuss about permitting or that part of it? I assume not, but I just wanted to ask.
Just starting the building permit process.
Okay.
Documents have been turned over to be uploaded to the city website.
Any timing concerns?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So just out of our hands in terms of the timing, we're hopeful that 2 months is enough.
Okay. We have communicated with city building officials, others. I mean, they know, is there any other, and I know you had done that in past few months. Is there any other, and I say this understanding, you submit it and you are in their process.
Right.
But because of the timing, because of the scope of this project, is there anything else we can do to have a conversation with them or let them know that any changes, any questions, as soon as they get them or as soon as they have them, it would be good for them to communicate? Anything else we can do on that end?
I don't know. I'll call and talk to Bob Tredick and see what he's thinking the timeline will be, if he can give me any heads up. And if there's any concern that he voices, then I'll share that with Ron and he can.
Does he know our timeline?
They don't care. I can tell them and tell them what we're looking for and see if they can help in any way. But it's not just him, it's a number of other reviewers, different disciplines. There's some site environmental review that's concurrent, but you know, Cheryl has led us to believe that that's a slam dunk. It's not really a big deal. So,
okay.
Obviously, it works on their schedule. I mean, they don't care. Is you know that they get these questions. Everyone's got construction deadlines. That's kind of what you mean by that, right? They do care, but
yes, I mean,
just since it's for the record, I know I just want to. I don't think you were implying that.
They care about their jobs, but they have a process, and I don't know if there's any way we can jump to the front line.
And I would not suggest that merely that this is a unique building that comes into City Grove, and talking through that and understanding that they have their set process, they have a lot of boxes to check. And if there could be any way to let you know if a question comes up before, you know, they have all their comments, things like that.
Gotcha.
I just wonder if that's even an option, but it probably wouldn't hurt to have that conversation, right?
I think they do upload comments.
On an ongoing basis?
Yes, from different review processes. I don't think it's a wait to the end to get everything. I don't know. I haven't been through the city review in a while myself, but that's... I know I've seen it on a recent project or two, and small, much smaller, but.
And it's been 12 years for me. So that was pre-online, you know, that was a long time. So just half
from what I've seen in their comments, I don't think the technology has advanced that far.
Okay, so just anything we can do understanding their process. We're not trying to push the city or get ahead of the line or anything like that, but just having that conversation might be helpful.
I will make a call.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Or at least, I don't know if they can even give us some sense of if it's going to be a problem.
When I asked months ago, I got kind of, this is our standard turnaround, and they gave me complete comfort that we would be able to get, I think, should be able to get through the process in 6 weeks, which works well with our schedule. The problem I see is that we have Christmas, New Year break in the middle of that timeline, and how much work will be done during that time, I don't know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that was on the project cost updates.
Yes.
You don't need any kind of approval on that or anything.
No.
The permit question was just want to bring that up. So nothing else on that piece?
Correct.
Right, babe? Okay. So Ron, you wanted to, if we're through that, you wanted to add the loan, and we've already talked about the next meeting dates, correct? In that previous conversation,
yes.
Or is it something else
we need to talk about? So we agreed on 2:23, was it, at 8 a.m.?
Yes.
For an hour and a half?
Yes. Okay.
I'm sure Peggy got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the last thing I wanted to talk about was the additional funding to the FSU loan. The additional funding through the FSU loan.
Okay.
It's actually the FSU Research Foundation. We discussed this in the board meeting.
Right.
And was given the direction to move forward with the negotiation of the terms. I have made a proposal that I want to share with you. I'm waiting to get feedback on this, but Bill and I have been working on trying to craft something. I think their appetite for a grant conversion, that's what we're calling it, a loan to grant conversion, is pretty good. I think our conversation when I presented to the FSURF investment committee, I think they get that saddling the incubator with a lot of debt is not a good thing, but at the same time, I think they are interested in making sure that there is space available to FSU affiliated businesses that want to get in there, and try to do what the President McCullough wants to get done. And it's very clear that they all understand that this is one of his priorities. So that made me feel really good that there's an interest in this.
So Bill and I kind of worked through what is essentially treating the loan payment as the grant. Okay. So I'm going to share this with you real quick here, because you know how all know how much I like spreadsheets.
You need to teach a class in spreadsheets, Ron.
Little side note. There's actually a competition I was unaware of.
You're kidding.
It's a spreadsheet competition for financial analysis. I don't know.
Why haven't you entered that every year?
I mean, really? So, let's see. Trying to manage all these screens here. Not where they're supposed to be. Here. All right. I'm going to make that bigger so hopefully you can see it. Okay, so the idea here was to reflect. Everybody see that okay?
Yes.
Okay. So the idea was to reflect this loan amount and the interest as well over a period of time. I know the period's a little different than what we originally discussed, but we can tweak this model, you know, however we want. But I'm starting at 15 years. I know we said, you know, we would do 12 months, no interest. We would then do 2 years of interest-only payments and then the balance over 10 years at 3.25% interest. Well, I'm actually proposing that we change that to reflect some of the conversations that we've had. We did also say we would negotiate the loan-to-grant conversion. This is my first offer. I fully expect to get some feedback on this. But based on my conversation with them and the understanding from the investment committee, I do think there's an appetite for something like this. Whether it's the full number or not, I don't know. I think the main thing they're looking for is to know that they have the space to put people when they want to put them there. What we want is to not be burdened with debt service while we're trying to start this thing up, or frankly, at any time. But if we have to, we can go out and raise the funds to... in the future to try to retire this piece. This buys us the time to do that. So I think this accomplishes what they're looking for. It's just a matter of if the numbers make sense for and they're willing to basically buy a reservation of space in the building. So what I did is I looked at what's the total cost, you know, what's their total investment, including interest. And if you do the math on the $3 million over 15 years at 3.25%, if this were a monthly payment, if you get a monthly payment, that would be the monthly payment required to retire that with principal and interest. We're calling that the monthly grant conversion, okay? So the total investment, which would be equal to the total payment, so the 21,000 times 15 times 12 is almost $3.8 million. The total project cost is the $22,380,000. So their investment, if you reserve space equal to their proportion of their investment in the total project, it's 17%. Okay. So we broke down the space that's available into modules. Okay. So we have lab modules, and this is not the same definition we used in the architect's view, but so we have lab modules, offices, and co-working. The lab modules, you know, we have two sizes of labs, so we wanted to reflect that in this. So you have the, you know, the small labs and the big labs, and we're saying that all three types of labs, or four types of labs, the bio, the chem, the dry labs, and the chemistry, and the flex labs are all relatively of equal value. We don't know exactly how they'll distribute with the types of companies coming in. So we didn't want to get too fancy and try to break down each type. But we did want to reflect that there are different sizes of labs. So so we have, you know, if you take the number of large labs times two and add it to the number of small labs, you get 49 modules. and there are 20 offices. I know, Cam, we have 24, but we think four of those are probably going to get allocated to staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have 20 available for member companies. And we think roughly supporting 100 co-working. We could probably support more than that, but we didn't want to get silly with that number. It's less relevant anyway. So if you take each of those numbers times 17, you get 8, 3, and 17. So proportional to their investment, they would have reserved 8 modules in labs, 3 offices, and 17 co-working spaces. The idea would be, and we've set up terms somewhere. So basically you would amortize this just like you would, a loan. And that for each month that space is reserved for FSU affiliated companies, we would earn that payment basically of $21,000. We would not actually make a payment. That would just come off of the amortized balance over time. And then at any point that we say, hey, we can't reserve that space anymore. We have such high demand, great problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
And we decide we want to basically buy it out. We would pay the unamortized balance. Okay. So that would go for the 15 years. And if we decided to say, maybe they say, oh, we only wanted to do that for 10 years, it would look something like that.
That's a great idea. I mean, if they will buy off on that, I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will or not, but I think it's, I think it's just a matter of how much they're willing to do. And we have gone as far, and I'll add this to the screen, share this with you as well. So we've
discussed. Hey, Ron.
Go ahead.
When you did your ratios there, of cost, is that a fully built out space cost, or is it just the construction cost?
It's just the construction.
So it's not.
So we could tweak these numbers, for the final cost. We could get into the whole equipment thing, but at this point, what we're really talking about is space. And I think it's fine.
I just was curious.
Yeah, I don't want to dilute this so much by trying to say, oh, yeah, it's all this. We got all this equipment and other things, because here's the other kicker. This does not replace membership fees of the companies who are going to be in the facility. We still have operating costs. OK, this is just about the space.
Right.
So. Go ahead.
Is it magic of 3 million?
No, it could be less than that. But according to Cam, it's gonna be a lot more. But I'm sorry.
Could it be more?
Well, that's the kicker. Right now we're at 3 million as what we're negotiating is the max.
Okay.
It's a line of credit basically for up to $3 million. So we would adjust this at the for the final number. Now,
okay.
If we came back and we're $500,000 over on budget, and I go and beg and plead, would they give us another $500,000? I don't know.
That was the question. Okay.
And in your terms, you also have that we can pay it off at any point.
Yeah. So here's the next. Yeah, that's the next thing I wanted to show you is that I've taken the opportunity to sort of define this a little bit better. If I can get the screen to work. Okay. Can you all see that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So again, the idea is that it's a mutual incentive, you know, for both of us. Obviously, we want to give them space if it helps reduce this number. And they're basically paying for the privilege to reserve 17% of the space in the building. I've made it clear because some of the early communications were talking about researchers rather than companies.
Yeah.
So I made it clear in this definition of FSU companies that we're talking about private businesses that are affiliated with FSU by virtue of either licensing FSU technology or they are staffed or supported by FSU faculty or staff or students. And that they must be in the process of commercializing technologies, not just doing research, and they are subject to the same admission criteria as everyone else. So that gives us some control to make sure that they're not doing basic and applied research. It's got to be about commercializing. That's the whole point of the incubator. So that gives us some level of control. So just defining things like the loan amount, Tom, which talks about what you're talking about, you know, all the draws against the line, the term, you know, when it starts, the interest rate, the monthly grant conversion. And again, we make it clear that this is, it's equivalent to and in lieu of a monthly principal and interest payment for the loan amount amortized over the term. So basically what I showed you there, and then it's fixed regardless of any actual utilization of space by FSU companies. And it does not substitute for any membership or other fees which are required to be paid by FSU companies. We will still have, as I said before, we still have operating costs that have to be covered. So this is not in lieu of rent or, you know, any membership fees. It's still, those companies have to continue to pay. It's about paying for the construction of the building. So we talked about the total FSU investment, the total project cost, the reserve percentage, define the labs. I think I sort of described all of this to you. Does all that make sense? Any questions?
Nice spreadsheet.
That's a great thought, Ron.
Yeah, it's a good way of breaking it down. I agree with the equipment, not complicating it that way, or mixing or trying to get too specific on the module on the different types of lab space.
And the calculation, I guess, for the record, just make sure I'm clear, it only deals with that portion that is the loan. It doesn't tie back into the previous investment of the 2.5.
We talked about that, Bill and I as well. This is new money. It's the other stuff was never contemplated reserving space as a result. It's not that I wouldn't expect that issue to be raised, but you know, they gave that grant to support the project, and that was not the intent.
Certainly there was an assumption, like we have all made, that a lot of the members will come from FSU affiliated companies at that time. And that was how I think the Office of Research president, the former president, looked at that, right? For the match dollars. This looks like separate. And it's for the terms of the, sorry, Ron, it's for the terms of the loan. But again, we anticipate a lot of FSU affiliate members even after that, right?
Yeah, I think it's a win-win because it provides an incentive to the Research Foundation to put licensed companies in there because they get a licensing fee for that intellectual property.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
And I would assume that issue that you mentioned about research versus commercializing, that's going to, that meets the president's goals, the Office of Research. I mean, they want people to be commercializing for the very reason, I mean, that the foundation will be interested in this. Yeah. That is the goal, to move company, you know, to move folks out of FSU into the commercialization startup phase.
So we went back to the 15 years and you add in $2.6 million to the total investment. Okay. Which is the the amount that they funded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right.
Then you're looking at 28%.
Mm-hmm.
So again, this is a starting point in the process. I don't agree with the adding the 2.6 million. I think that's a pretty.
I was just to put it on the record, make sure it's clarified.
Yeah. We did anticipate what we're trying to do is think about it from both sides of the table.
So anyway, that's what we've proposed. We'll see what they come back with. But are there any concerns about this proposal?
I think it's a great way to, as you guys have said, break this down. I think it looks fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tom?
I love it. I think it's very creative.
Thank you. We'll see if they love it.
The only thing I wonder is just should you put a 4 on it instead of a 3?
Well,
change that 28%.
Yeah.
17%.
It changed the 17%.
Yeah.
Well, I think there will be opportunities if we need to at least ask. I don't know. I mean, they initially started with 2.6. And then I said, what about 3? So.
Okay, cool.
If we have to go back, we'll go back, but I don't want to come out of the gate with that. Mary Jo, you have to keep your lips sealed on all this negotiation stuff.
Cone of silence, right, Mary Jo?
Cone of silence. All right. I mean, it's only a public meeting. The recording's available for anyone who wants to watch, but we count on the fact that they're probably not watching.
And I'm backed away from this as well, because I think that it's only appropriate that Ron negotiates that with the team at Research Foundation. I'm on the sideline.
Well, and just to clarify, everyone with the Research Foundation has been exceedingly helpful in this process, and I think everyone wants to make it work. So I don't have concerns about that. And they've been very fair so far. I'm trying to be fair, but I'm also realistic in what we need. And I think this would, as Bill said, this win-win.
But just getting that on the record, we have thankfully a lot of overlap with FSU. The original money, our chair, Mary Jo, others, this negotiation is with the foundation. So everyone's got their different wheelhouse, as it were. So I think it's good to put that on the record, but we know everybody's working, you know, towards the same goal, and that's fantastic.
Okay.
So you don't need any kind of approval for that. That was just an update on what.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know where we're headed with that and get any feedback that you might have.
Okay. So that was the end of your list. Yeah?
Yes.
Anything else for today?
Not for me.
All right. It's exciting.
Yes.
Good Christmas present.
Yes.
Ron gets to take a breath, right?
Yeah.
Maybe.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah. Not so much, you guys.
Well, it depends on the Acer calls.
Right. All right. So, seeing nothing else that we have to do, no new business, glancing at my agenda. So, we are adjourned.